Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look here and use this text as a launching pad as we look at these master's men, these disciples, the apostles of the Most High, Jesus Christ. These men that walked with Him and learned from Him and saw Him do many miracles, do a great work in many lives. We find that these men were special in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. He called unto them and made them His 12, those special band of believers that walked with Him along His journey, those 3.5 years of public ministry. And so if you found Matthew chapter 10, we're going to begin. We'll read right here and use this, as I said, a launching pad, and looking more as in a topical fashion. But I want to look at these men and see their lives and see what aspects there were of their life that we might be able to glean from them. I believe we ought to search out the Scriptures and try to learn about these men and see whom they are and what they were about, where they come from. You know, they ain't no different than us. There's a lot of things that are about these men that are a lot like you and I, and as to where that they were called from, what that God brought them out from, what He saved them from, what He taught them, and what He called them to do. So if you found your place, let's stand tonight in honor and reverence for the Word of God. And I want to preach on James, the son of Zebedee, brother of John. Look with us here. The Bible says, and when he had called, Matthew 10, verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James, the son of Zebedee. And you may be seated tonight. We find that there are some aspects, I believe, throughout the Scriptures concerning James, this son of Zebedee. James, the brother of John, and looking at his life and especially his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, James is not necessarily one that's mentioned necessarily as much as John, his brother. But we find that whenever one is mentioned, usually both of them are mentioned. And James is usually mentioned first. Now, many believe the reason that he may be mentioned first is he may be the elder brother. Therefore, his name would come first. We find that he was a son of Zebedee, whose father was a fisherman. We find that as they were called, first of all, to be a disciple for the Son of God. We find that when they were called to be Christ's disciple, called to be a disciple for the Son of God, their calling was much like Peter's and Andrew's, for they were fishermen. And we find in the Gospel accounts, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4, we find over there in the narrative, we find along verse number 21, that the Bible says, and going on from thence, after he had called Peter, after he had called Andrew, after they had left everything they had, the Bible says there in chapter 4 of Matthew, verse number 21, it says, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. Now these men were about their daily routine. They probably woke up that morning, and they didn't have no wonder as to what they was going to do that day. They went, they prepared their nets, they launched their ships, they went out into the sea to try to see what kind of a draught they might be able to catch, because their substance, their living, required them to fish. So we find that they worked alongside of their father. They worked alongside of their brother. We find that they were there tending their own business. Boy, ain't that a lot like what you and I were doing whenever Jesus impacted our life? We weren't looking for Him. We woke up that day expecting it to be like any other day. But there was something different from what it says there in verse number 21. It says, and He called them. Well, I'm thankful for the calling of the Most High God, aren't you? I'm thankful that it is an outer call. I'm thankful that He calls us vocally. I'm thankful for the witness of the Scripture of God. I'm thankful for the proclamation from a man of God or a woman of God. I'm thankful for the godly example that people live out in their lives, that they might be able to make an impact on somebody that's lost and desolate and without God. We find that these men were there. They were mending their own nets. They were tending unto the ship. They were working with their father. But the Bible says there, and He called them. But I believe it went a lot further than what the ear could hear, because evidently Christ made an impact upon their heart. I believe that God spoke to them that day. They literally realized that that was the Son of God speaking unto them. Oh, they might have heard of Him. They might have realized that there was one that John had prophesied of that was to come, whose shoes he was not even worthy to unlatch. That there was one that was coming, that was going to be the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Hey, they knew that there was one that was around that could do all things, that had the power to do great miracles and do work in somebody's life. And all of a sudden, they had an encounter with Jesus, the Bible says there, and He called them. Look what it says in verse 22, Matthew chapter 4. It says, "And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him." Hey, they decided right then and there that they were going to go all out. Amen? Lock, stock, and barrel. They said, "I'm going to serve Jesus." They weren't holding nothing back. They did not let their job tie them down like so many people do. So many people are scared to serve God because they're afraid they're going to have to give up their job. They said, "I don't care about the job. I'm going to give it up. I'm walking away from it right now, and I'm going to serve Jesus." Hey, they didn't let their family time down. There's a lot of people have excuses that they can't serve God because of this or that matter, dealing with their family. These men said, "I'm going to leave my father," as much as they loved Him, as much as they had devoted themselves unto Him, as much as they had worked with Him, maybe to build up a great work there as they were fishermen. Hey, they did not let that hinder them. They knew that God had spoken. They knew that God had called. They knew that God had asked them to make themselves a commitment unto Him. They said, "I'm going to leave all of this that I might be a disciple of the Most God." Hey, they wanted to learn more about Him. They wanted to understand more about Him. Sometimes we have to give up things. We're ever going to come to a comprehension of whom Jesus really is. And to have a full understanding of what God wants to do with our life. There has to be a separating time. Amen. Hey, sometimes we have to separate ourselves from some things in our life. And the Bible tells us here about these men. Over in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 3, we find this calling here of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. We find that Jesus gives them a title over in Mark chapter number 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says there, it says, "And James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder." Now, I tried my best to pronounce that Aramaic term, and if you can do any better, you feel right. Feel free to go right ahead. But nevertheless, He called them. They gave them that Aramaic name, and that is being interpreted means the sons of thunder. Evidently, these men were very outspoken. Evidently, these men might have been very loud. Evidently, these men might have had the ability to have an intense personality. Now, if you're sitting alone and everything's quiet, and all of a sudden there comes a great big clap of thunder, it's intense. It's something that shakes you and rattles you. And these men must have had a personality that might have been just like that. Hey, they had zest. They had zeal. They wanted to serve God. And as Jesus worked with them and watched them and led them, He saw that they had great zeal. They had great amount of want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see these men were called the sons of thunder. Over in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 5, we find that these men were called at the same time as Peter and as Andrew. And as we recount this passage of Scripture, we may have looked at it several weeks ago as we looked at Peter. But nevertheless, in Luke, chapter number 5, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships," now mind you, "two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into the one of the ships, which was Simon's, Simon Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Now, I don't know if Andrew might have been waiting on the shore. I don't know if he might have been sitting there along with Simon. But nevertheless, he was in Simon Peter and Andrew's ship. And the Bible says there that when he had left speaking, He said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto Him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word I'll let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, now that being James and John, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I'll tell you what, whenever they made an impact, wherever Jesus rather made an impact upon their life, I'll tell you what, He filled their ship too. That's exactly what Christ will do for you. Hey, I'll tell you what, when He calls upon you, when He convicts you, when He convinces you, when He calls you and converts you, hey, I'll tell you what, He'll fill up your ship. Hey, you might think there's no way I can serve Him. There's no way in my own power, my own ability, that I can leave everything and go and serve Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, He comes along and He fills up your ship, you'll be able to. You say, Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, whenever you get saved and you get born again, you get birthed in the family of God, you don't just get a portion of God. You don't just get a glimpse of whom that He is. No, He provides Himself fully and freely unto you, and the Holy Spirit of God comes and makes His abode upon your heart. And He fills you with the Spirit of God. And daily you have to rise to your feet and then fall to your knees and call upon God and say, God, it's another day, and I need Your presence in my life. I need You to fill me. And I'll tell you what, He will every time. He'll fill you every time. So we see James, he was a disciple for the Son of God. He also had a desire for the Son of God. Now, we talked about that his name was the Sons of Thunder. There was great zest. There was great zeal. Look with me in Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10, along about verse number 35. Hey, these men had a desire for the Son of God. Hey, they wanted to learn from Him. They wanted to know more about Him. Furthermore, they wanted to be with Him perpetually forevermore. Look with me. The Bible tells us there in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 35. The Bible says, And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto Him, saying, Master, we would that Thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Now, the Gospel of Matthew gives this account as their mother coming unto Jesus and asking of Him. But nevertheless, it must have been the desire of not only their mother's heart, but it was the desire of their heart as well. And remind you, it says, And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, would come unto Him, saying, Master, we would that Thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And He said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto Him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on Thy right hand and the other on Thy left hand in Thy glory. Hey, they wanted to be with Jesus in glory. They wanted to be with Him. Hey, what they were wanting was they was wanting a throne right beside His. One on the right hand and one on the left hand, that they might be with Him and dwell with Him and cling unto Him every day, perpetually, forevermore. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's sometimes we have such a desire to learn more about God. Hey, we get in over our heads sometimes. And my friend, God will put upon us something and He'll command us to do something. And sometimes we balk. Sometimes we become feeble. Sometimes we fail Him. But nevertheless, we need to keep our eyes upon Him. Now, these men said here that they wanted to be with Jesus. And He said, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized or immersed with the immersion or baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto Him, We can. Now their desire was to do whatever Christ asked of them to do. Hey, they said, I'm going to go all the way with you. Now Jesus might have alluded to the fact that one day He was going to have to die. Might have alluded to the fact that one day He was going to have to make Himself the ultimate sacrifice for God the Father to be able to forgive a fallen man. And my friend, nevertheless, He fulfilled that cup. He drank of that cup. He was immersed in that baptism. And these men committed unto Him. They said, Yes, we can. And the Bible says, And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized, with all shall ye be baptized. He said, yes, you will. Hey, there's going to come a day, if you stick with me, you're going to die a martyr's death. If you stick with me and you hold to your guns, and you fulfill the commitment which you've begun, he says, there's going to come a day in which you're going to become a martyr. And we'll look at that here a little later on in the life of James as he became a martyr. Hey, we know that John fulfilled that in a lifelong commitment in complete exile on the Isle of Patmos. Hey, he had to taste of the cup of suffering in the same way as which Jesus had to suffer. Hey, we have a great desire for God, but my friend, there comes some consequences for that desire. And it means that we've got to fulfill sometimes some things that might not feel too good. Hey, we've got to go through some trials and go through some dilemmas that might not be too pleasant to our flesh. But I'll tell you what, there'll be glory in the end. Amen. Hey, God will reward you. If you have a desire to live for Him and serve Him, He will honor you. And the Bible says here in verse number 40, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Now, he said that lies in the sovereign hand of God. He said, Jesus said, that's not mine to give, but that's for God the Father to decide. That's His sole choice as to whom's going to sit on my right and my left in glory. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Evidently, it caused a little tension within the tribe. It caused a little bit of anxiety between them and the other 10 disciples. And they might have had a rift with old James and with John, for the Bible says that they were much displeased with them. But the Bible says, but Jesus called them to Him and saith unto them, hey, if you've got great desire, listen. The Bible says, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Hey, and in society as we see it, the ones that are the big cheese are the ones that are at the top of the ladder rung. Hey, they're the ones that are in the prominent positions. They have the authority. But it's not so in the kingdom of God. For the Bible says in verse 43, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. I want to tell you, church, we're going to be persecuted if we have a desire to serve Jesus. Hey, we're going to be ridiculed if we have a strong desire to live for the Lord. But I'll tell you what, keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. Don't back up, don't fail, don't negotiate. My friend, there's no time to compromise. What we've got to do is just serve God and serve Jesus and show His love and extend His mercy. That's exactly what God's going to do. Hey, that's exactly what Christ did. He kept His eye fixed upon Calvary. He kept His eye upon the cross. And He knew what He had to do, which was to give of His life's blood and to die there upon that old rugged tree so that you and I might have life. My friend, I'm glad He suffered, aren't you? I'm glad He ministered, aren't you? My friend, how are we to be any different? My friend, God didn't call us to sit in pious places. God didn't call us to be a snob-nosed people. God didn't call us to be a prominent crowd. What God called us to do was to roll up our sleeves and to dig our hands in the dirt and to serve God with all of our ability. My friend, there's no big I's and little U's. My friend, we're all people that are bought with the blood of Christ. We were all sinners destined to a devil's hell. Hey, there's nothing different between you and I. Hey, we're all sinners saved by grace. And therefore, we just need to serve God the very best we can and seeking His leadership and desiring to be what we can be for Him. So we see that James was a disciple for the Son of God. He had a desire for the Son of God. And he was with a defense for the Son of God. Hey, his desire was to come to Christ's defense. His desire was to come to the aid of the Son of God. Look with me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 9. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 9. The Bible tells us there along about verse number 51, Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Think about it, a defense for the Son of God. The Bible says that it came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up. He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. Now we find that He was in the northern portions. He was heading south. He was going to Judea. He was leaving the northern section of Israel there. He had to go through a land by the name of Samaria in order to get into Judea, to go to Jerusalem, to face that final death upon Calvary. Hey, he was on his highway to the cross. And the Bible says here in verse number 52, and he sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. He said, I want you to go. I want you to see if you can get us a place in which that we can reside, a place in which we can dwell. Now, I want you to realize that in the day and time in which Jesus lived, there were some folks that had conflict with the Jews, and they were the Samaritans. And the Samaritans did not like the Jews because the Jews looked down upon them. They called them a bunch of half-breeds. They called them a bunch of negligent, ignorant type of people. And so there was a rift, there was something, a controversy going on between the two sects. And the Bible says there in verse 53, and they did not receive him. Now I tell you what, that crowd in Samaria said, we do not want nothing to do with this Jew. We do not want nothing to do with this band of believers. We don't want nothing to do with these master's men. Hey, we don't want them to stay here. We're not going to receive them. Because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse number 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and to consume them even as Elijah did? Now we find in Matthew chapter 10 that they received great power. And my friend, they might have had the privilege to display that power at some time or another. But nevertheless, they asked Jesus, they said, you'll call down fire from heaven just as Elijah called fire down upon Mount Carmel. Do you want us to call down fire to come down and consume these Samaritans? They ate it and they came to Jesus' defense. They had a great zest and zeal, the sons of thunder. And to think that the two would be able to actually defend the King of Glory. Now, it probably wasn't possible for them to ultimately come to His complete defense. You don't want to know why? Because God Almighty will defend Himself. Amen? You don't have to come to Christ's defense. But nevertheless, we ought to stand up for the Bible. Amen? We ought to stand up for the book. Ought to stand upon the blood. Ought to stand upon good biblical preaching. Ought to stand upon the hymns of faith. Ought to be backing the Word of God and the people of God and coming to their aid when we can. The Bible says there in verse number 55, but He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. My friend, that's great hope for the church today. That my friend, even whenever Christ was rebuked and ridiculed, even whenever Christ was not received, He did not cast down judgment upon them ultimately. He did not ridicule them openly right then and there, but He extended unto them more mercy. He extended unto them more grace. Boy, I'm glad that God didn't give up upon me maybe the first time I rejected Him. I'm glad God didn't give up upon you the first time that you rejected the gospel message. When you came under a Holy Ghost conviction and you gripped the pew and you said, I'm not going to move. No, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to walk an aisle. But God continued to extend mercy. Continued to extend grace. Boy, I'm thankful for what He does for us. Amen. Hey, these men had great desire. They had great zest, great zeal. They wanted to come to the defense of the Son of God. But my friend, we see that whenever we are walking through religious persecution, when you're ridiculed at your school for being a Christian, when you're ridiculed at your workplace for being a Christian, when society looks down upon you for being a Christian, just do what Jesus did and just say, you know, the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Amen. Just to extend the mercy and the grace of God. So we see James as a disciple for the Son of God, with a desire for the Son of God. He had a defense for the Son of God, but we find that he also suffered a death for the Son of God. My friend, if you stick with him long enough, you're going to die. If you stick with him long enough, unless Jesus comes back in the morning and he breaks forth them eastern skies and the rapture takes place, my friend, unless Jesus comes before we die, if he tarries and we find that we're able to receive him in rapture state, my friend, there's going to come a day in which we're going to die. We find that James suffered this death. The very first martyr, Acts chapter number 12, I'm sorry. I'm not used to this topical preaching, have to tell everybody where I'm going. But Acts chapter number 12, we find that there was a man by the name of Herod. This being Herod Agrippa the First. He was a grandson of the great Herod that was there at the birth of Jesus. And we find that the Bible tells us there that this was the great beginning of the great persecution against the church. And the Bible says there, now about the time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He'd had enough of this uprising. He'd had enough of this clamor. He'd had enough of this crowd. He'd had enough of this commotion that was causing an uprising around and about Jerusalem. And he said, I'm going to persecute them. And he began, as it says there, to stretch forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And the Bible says in chapter number 12, verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And I'll tell you what, if you live for Jesus long enough, there's going to come a time that you might have to die a martyr's death. Hey, we might not necessarily see it in this country, this great country in which we're able to live, this wonderful nation, this land of the free and the home of the brave. But I'll tell you what, there's folks dying in Mexico because of their love for Jesus. There's folks dying in Indonesia because of their love for Jesus. There's folks dying in China because of their love for Jesus. And we find that that same fate came upon this beloved disciple, James, the son of Zebedee, the son of thunder. And the Bible tells us here that he died with the sword. That was the manner of execution that indicates his accusation to leading people to false gods. You see, those that were beheaded were those that had been termed as leading people unto false gods. You see, in the day and time of the Jewish culture, they believed in Jehovah only. And all those around them, the Romans and everything, believed in Zeus and anything other was considered heresy. And we find here that they declared Jesus to be a false god. But boy, I'm here to tell you what, tonight, He's not a false god. He's the true and living God. Amen. Oh, Paul over yonder on Mars Hill described that idol to the unknown God. But that was Jesus. And I'll tell you what, He's not a false God. He's just unknown to a lot of folks because they've never had an encounter with the book. They've never had an encounter with the blood. They've never had an encounter with the truth of whom Jesus really is. But nevertheless, we see James. He lived his life full of zest, full of zeal, serving God out there on the forefront. We might look at him in the Bible and just see a silhouette of who this man truly was. But nevertheless, I believe he had a desire to serve God. And because he served Him with fervency and served Him with all of his heart and gave with great desire, we find that he was the first one vexed. He was the first one beheaded. He was the first one to die. But you know, I'm reminded of what the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. My friend, I'll tell you what, you live for Him, you serve Him, you work for Him. Hey, you become that disciple that God wants you to be. You soak it up. You saturate it up. You learn all you can about Him. Be a student of the Word of God. My friend, have that desire that you have, that you need to have to serve God with full fervency. Hey, come to the aid of Jesus when you can. Stand up and defend the book and defend the Word and defend Him as best you can and sharing the mercy and the grace of God. And one day you might have to die. But boy, I tell you what, to be absent from the body, amen, is to be present with the Lord. My friend, what great hope we have to know that if we was to leave this world, we're going to a better place, amen. And my question to you tonight is, do you know? Do you know that if you was to die tonight, that you'd go to heaven? Do you know that with full assurance in your heart, if you was to die tonight, you'd be in the presence of the Lord? As I look upon this crowd tonight, I have assurance that for the most part, everybody that's here, that's the age of accountability, has made a profession of faith and knows Christ, made that public. But I'll tell you what, are we doing everything we could to serve God? Might be saved, but are we sitting on the sidelines sometimes, not doing everything we could to serve Christ? If God's spoken to your heart tonight, and you need to make things right, you come as only you can. Let's every head bowed and every eye closed.